Now, back to a couple of guys that think Dr. Doolittle was a quack. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a returning guest on the line, Holly Hanserich, the front counter manager from Pruse Pets. Welcome back to the show, Holly.
Hi.
Hey, Holly, we appreciate your being with us. As the front counter manager, you have to be the point person who deals with people walking through the door. They get into the store and they just see the incredible variation of dog and cat foods that are out there. How do you go about helping people to choose which is the appropriate food for them?
Well, there's a lot of questions that we ask, and having people who are willing to take the time to ask the questions is kind of the really big first step. So if you, no matter what store you go into, or even if you're speaking with your vet, taking the time to ask, you know, what food that they think is best for your dog, or, you know, different life stages of the animal are going to change with kind of food the animal needs. So just being willing to learn even and to take the time to ask the questions is kind of a really big first step, because a lot of people might feel, you know, kind of embarrassed to be like, all right, help me pick a food for my dog, you know. But it's you just really want to be open about it and be willing to learn. So just opening that gateway of conversation with whoever you can is kind of the biggest opening step. And then from there, we kind of ask a lot of questions, and we want to help fit your budget as well as fit your dog's needs. So that's kind of where we start.
Interesting. And Holly, how do you go about teaching yourself on that topic? Because, again, I remember back 20, 30 years ago when it wasn't too hard. It was either kennel ration or Alpo, and that was pretty much the choices. But now, I mean, you just look and there are just so many different choices. Do I want lamb and potato, and do I want all of this other stuff that's in there? How do you learn about all of that so that you can be helpful?
Yeah, there's so many choices. The main way we learn is there's a lot of information online. There's a lot of websites that you can go to. One really good one is dogfoodadvisory.com, and it has a list of things that you can use to help rate different dog foods. And it's completely non-biased. It just gives you a form that you fill out when you look at the foods to help you see, like, which components really are good about that food. So no matter what advertising is occurring from that company or what kind of advertising is occurring on that bag, kind of helps you just look at the raw facts and decide if that's a really good food for you or not. And then a lot of the companies send reps in, and the reps will do things that teach us basically how to read the nutritional label on the back of bags, how to help pick foods that fit specific needs for animals. So while they are there to kind of teach us about their food in particular and maybe kind of to lean towards a little bit, they also do provide us a lot of good general knowledge about foods, about all the foods, not just their own. So they help us a little bit too.
Yeah, the two things I notice that you'll ask is, one, you seem to want to find what breed of dog they have. I'm sure that's particularly helpful. And then you have your own personal experience as well. Maybe comment on both of those.
Yeah, a lot of times where I start is I ask the age of the dog. So I want to know if I'm dealing with a puppy, because that's a specific food source. A lot of places that I've read recommend puppy food up to about a year. Some breeds of dogs, you do puppy food longer. Some breeds of dogs, you do puppy food shorter. So, but a year is kind of like our general pick. So if it's just a puppy, then of course you want to start with puppy food. If it's a really small breed dog, then a lot of times you would go with like a small bite food. So it's something more palatable for them, easier for them to chew. If it's a large breed dog, you want to get a type of food that's going to cater to a large breed dog and their different specific needs for growth. So we kind of start there. A lot of times it has to do with age and specific breed, and then as well as activity level. If it's an older dog that's, you know, not very active, and you don't want to worry about if it's gaining weight or not. You want to worry about if you're adding too much into the diet that the dog can't use. So we kind of help you feather through the foods that way and learn a little bit about your dog's, you know, age, activity level, breed, size,
plus the coat, I would imagine.
The house. Yeah.
Well, and the coat, I would think, would be a big deal about it, because some are going to need something, whereas if you got no hair, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, a lot of foods nowadays, the foods that are, I don't want to say like higher quality, but I guess that might be one word for them, tend to have some really good things in all of their lines, whether it's designed for a long-haired dog or a short-haired dog or things like that. They tend to try to put the right amount of oils and things that the dogs need for a healthy coat in pretty much all the foods now, so that that's not too much of a limiting factor, because they kind of want to make their food good for as many niches to fill as possible. So
I'm
pretty good about that.
Probably one thing to, the condition of the skin is far more important of the issue than the condition of the coat. The coat kind of reflects the condition of the skin. So, yeah, maybe he doesn't have as many oils to pump out through the fur, but at the same time, I would imagine it's just equally as important in a hairless dog as it is in a well-haired dog.
Yeah, and just having a naturally well-balanced and healthy diet in the first place will help with that.
Fantastic. Well, Holly, before we let you go, when it comes to cat food, any recommendations for people to think about with that? And also, when is a frozen or a soft food appropriate versus a kibble?
Well, with cats, a lot of one really big issue that we see a lot of people go to soft food for or canned food for is a lot of cats have urinary tract issues. And sometimes they can be a cause of too little of fluid intake. So some cats don't really like to drink out of bowls and consume a lot of water that way. And when they're on a dry kibble, they just aren't getting enough food into their diet. And so providing a canned food in that source can help bring more moisture into their diet and help prevent things like urinary issues. So we get a lot of people who come in who say, I had a cat with an issue and our vet told us to add a canned food to his diet. What do you recommend?
Right.
And then we actually have specific foods that kind of cater to that.
Fantastic.
That are designed just for that we can recommend.
Interesting. Okay. Holly, I'm afraid we've run out of time, but we want to thank you for your insights. We've been speaking this morning with Holly Hanserich, the front counter manager from Pruce Pets. And Rick, once again, we've just run out of time. There's so much to talk about on this subject, so I'm sure we'll be back again. But on behalf of our producer, Mark Price, and my co-host, Rick Pruce, in the studio, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great weekend and a great week ahead. We'll talk with you again next week on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show here on 1320 WILS. And please take good care of your pets. Have a great weekend, everybody.